upon me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know that I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world cannot see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross, let it die so you can live.
To the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every strain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree, walk away free. Nail it to the cross.
Is there a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound, struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take a hammer in your hand.
Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every strain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree, walk away free.
nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree. Walk away free. Nail it to the cross, nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree, walk away free. Nail it to the cross, nail it to the cross.
Amen. Give him a great hand. Praise. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of life. Thank for this great nation that we live in today. Thank for the love that swims us through the blood of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. We ask your blessing on the message today. May it touch hearts and lives. May people be touched by the message and the grace, the love, and the mercy of God. Talk today on seven blessings of a believer. Stan implied the blessings that come our way fits the message. Psalms 139 verses 5 and 6 shortened. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. Psalms 139 is divided into three parts. Verses 1 to 6, omniscient, means all-knowing. 7 to 12, omnipresent. 13 to 16, omnipotent. Number one, we are blessed by God's promises. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, there has not one word of all his good blessings or promises which he has promised to his servant Moses. In the Bible, there are 810 promises. Wow. The Bible is 85% promises. Think of that. To man, there are 7,487 promises. Promises. From man to God, there's only 85 or only 290. Think of that. 7,487 promises to man. Man's promises to God are a mere 290. The book of Titus is the only book in the Bible that has no promises. All the rest of them do. In fact, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel have more than 1,000 promises each. Psalms 37, nearly every verse is a promise. People don't read like they used to. They look everything on their cell phones. And a man hit me, you can see my car is bashed in the back. I stopped with the crowd ahead of me, he didn't. Got out of his car and simply said, "I'm so sorry, I was on my cell." And he drove off, went into the lane. It was only one person in a two-lane and zipped away. There are three good reasons why you need to read the Bible. Number one, there are godly people there you've never met. Think of that. There are great periods of history you've never lived in. There are glowing performances by the Holy Spirit. Faith lives in a promise like fish in an ocean. And so, first of all, we're blessed with God's promises. Think of that. Number two, we're blessed by God's presence. Deuteronomy 31:6 to Moses, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one that goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And again in Hebrews 12:3, we read again, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always." Satan wants to take away your joy. That's what he wants, nothing else. Just gets you unhappy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is not his presence everywhere? David said, how can I flee from your presence? God's presence is in the church, right here, in an unusual way, where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst, in a most unusual gathering in the universe. Church is like no other gathering. God's presence in a church meeting, God's presence in your prayer closet. Enter your closet when you pray to your Heavenly Father, who sees you secretly, he rewards you openly. John Newton wrote poetically, you are coming to a king, large petitions with you bring. For his grace and power is such, none can ask too much. A slave trader wrote the song Amazing Grace. He found an old Negro tune to that, and that tune can be played only on five keys that are black keys on the piano. Isn't that amazing? Number three, are blessed by God's provision, spiritual provision. Ephesians 1:3, blessed is the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us physically. Joshua 1:3, wherever you set your foot, I give it to you. He has blessed us financially. Matthew 10:3-10, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, there will not be room to contain it. Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God who has given you power to get wealth. Think of that. We are most like God when we're giving. Giving and grace come from the same derivative. Spiritual and stewardship is necessary. We're to give mathematically. It's a tenth. All has shall give you a tenth. Give scripturally. It's the law of God. You shall tithe all your increase. Seek first the kingdom of God. How dare we ask God for anything when we're robbing him? Rob your neighbor and then ask for him to help you. Does that make sense? No. If you're robbing God, God still answers prayer, but you're losing out in this life and the rewards of heaven. Be a tither, don't be a stingy Christian. Give morally, it's a debt. When you not give, you're robbing God. Think of that. Give mathematically, give scripturally, give morally, give economically. It is an investment. Give and it shall be given you. Give spiritually, it's a blessing. Now quickly, let me give you eight spiritual blessings as a tither. Eight of them, imagine. An open heaven, outpoured blessing, overflow your containers, this is all in a verse, overcome your enemies, overload your harvest, overwhelm your joy, outreach to the lost, outcome for eternity. There are two conditions for biblical prophecy. Number one, hard work. Number two, give generously. Number four, we're blessed by God's power. Power to witness. Acts 1:8, you know it well. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Power to withstand the enemy. 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Power comes within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Do not be touched by criticism, not by circumstance or by the cares of this world. Number five, we're blessed by God's protection. You ever felt your steering wheel move a little bit? God was protecting you. Blessed by protection. Psalms 139:5, my text, you have hedged me or enclosed me behind me, and before you've laid your hands on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. We have protection when we ask for it. We have protection when we're not aware of it. We're like sheep. Oh, how we are like sheep. Four reasons. I don't like it, but it's true. Number one, they're dumb, nearly blind. They can only see 20 feet ahead. Aren't you always amazed what human beings can try to do? Not only we're dumb, we're defenseless, with no fangs, no claws. We're depending on the shepherd. Did you know if a sheep ever gets on its back, it will die there? Has no power to get up on its own. If the shepherd doesn't see it, it will die. He has to help that sheep get up. How many times has Jesus helped you get up when you were down? The good shepherd, depend on him. Dumb, defenseless, dependent, drowned in the turbulent waters. That's why he says he leads you beside still waters. If they got in turbulent waters, their wool would pull them down. They would drown. So the Lord leads them in non-moving waters. Have you ever noticed the calmness the Holy Spirit can give us at times? We're frustrated. We don't know what to do. We're beside ourselves. And suddenly within us comes that peace, rest, and joy. Blessed by his providence, he watches your steps. I love this. Psalms 139:3, you comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. The world steps aside with one who knows where he is going. He watches your steps. He is working on your behalf. God's appointments sometimes are our disappointments. We're blessed by past forgiveness. Your sins are destroyed. Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their trespasses. I will remember again your sins no more. Then I will destroy their departed. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. If it went north or south, they'd come to the north or south pole and stop. No, that's why it's in the circle that never, ever ends. East and west never meets. They're in the depths of his sea. Mount Everest is 29,000 feet. The Mariana Trench in the Pacific is 36,000 feet deep. That means it's 7 miles in depth. All your sins are buried in the deepest place. There's 7 miles underneath the ocean. God has buried your sins. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Our sins are gone. They're not just forgiven. Because a person go to jail, they can be forgiven, but it's still on the record. No, he has said your sins are made just as if they never happened. Your sins are in the depth of the sea. Your sins are dissipated. They're blown out of the water. They're gone forever. A man said, God, I'm sorry for what I did. And God said, what did you do? I don't remember it. Romans 5:9, much more they're being justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath to come. We have communion today. Wonderful, beautiful time together to remember that. Never clutch the past so tightly that it leaves your arms unable to embrace the present. Life must be lived forward, understood backward, but live forward. Don't live in the past. It's gone. It's past. Forget it. You expire when you die, but inspire while you live. The cross is a symbol of God's heartbreak over a world that's gone astray. It is said of John Wesley, he was out of breath running after God. Are you running after God today, or is he running after you? Have you slipped away from him? He's still following you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you're watching by television or radio or listening on mutual outlets all over the country, all over the world, Facebook's everywhere, If you're listening today and you failed God, get up and get started again. Ask God to forgive you and move on. Don't let the world and the devil get you down and hold you there. The blood of Jesus will lift you up. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? Wow. The cross is the symbol of God's heartbreak. God's heart was broken at the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Imagine. That proves the Trinity over and over. Not only there, God speaking from heaven, but at the water baptism, God spoke from heaven. Think of that. Holy Spirit within, water. God loves you in every way possible. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you when you're lonesome. He loves you when you're happy. God loves you. Say, God loves me. Let me hear it. Louder. He does. He always loves you. The greatest message. Billy Graham's last message was, God loves you. God loves you. We met with Billy Graham many, many times, always had on his heart the people. Do you know God today? You mean I can know him? Yes. Why can you know him? Because Jesus is the impartation of God in human flesh. He knows what you feel. He felt it. He knows the pain, the anguish, the sorrow, the disappointment, the heartache, the heartbreak over a loved one that's gone. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows every heartbeat, every breath, every thought. Think of that. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself or anyone in this room that knows you. He knows when you're sad and sorrowful. He knows when your heart is breaking. He knows when you're happy. God loves you. They're listening and watching all of the world today. God loves you. Let's pray. Oh, blessed Jesus, Savior of the world, lover of mankind. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to say this prayer with me for those that are listening and watching around the world. Say a prayer. If you are watching today and you need Jesus of forgiveness, say this prayer with us. Say out loud, dear God, I come in Jesus' name. Well, I can't hear you. I come in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. To hear my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen.